Daniel chapter 9, look in verse 1. The Bible said, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and I made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which have spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces as it is this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to all of Israel, unto all Israel that are near and that are afar off through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, so we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yea, all of Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing up upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven had not been done as hath been done unto upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obey not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for our iniquities of our fathers, for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are becoming reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name, for we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. You can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, help us now. Guard our mind and our thought, and give us the words that these dear people need to hear tonight. Let us preach without fear and favor, and let's preach in that under the Spirit and the direction of the Holy Spirit tonight. And Lord, just give us unction from the Holy One. Save somebody that's lost. Help them see their need to trust you. And Lord, we'll give you the glory. Help the one that needs help tonight. And we thank you for it all. Save that sinner's nearest tail for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. This is Daniel's prayer, and that for the repentance of the nation of Israel. I always found this prayer just a little on the unusual side, in the very fact, I'm going to deal with this here in a minute, in the very fact that Daniel was a righteous man. If you go back and you look in the book of Ezekiel 14, I'll read it to you what the Bible says about Daniel in Ezekiel 14 and in verse 14. And he's talking about the nation of Israel and the shape that they're in. And here's what the Lord said. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, said the Lord God. If I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it, so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beasts, though these three men were in it as I live, said the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, they only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. And you can go on and read, and he talks about that over and over and over again in the next few verses. It talks about the righteousness of Noah, Job, and Daniel. And so as I read this about what Daniel has to say, in Daniel chapter 9, you have to understand what's going on, that the time of the 70 years that God had told Jeremiah that the nation of Israel would be down in the land of Babylon is coming to an end. That 70 years is about to finish up. And he knows that a time of restoration is about to take place. And Daniel realizes that there needs to be a national, if I could say it this way, a national repentance for sin that they have committed. Just not for the sin that they have committed down in the land of Babylon, but for the sin that brought them to the place where they are. Now you have to understand that this, as he's praying this, this is after judgment. You understand that tonight? This is after God has judged Israel and judged Judah and brought them to a place of destruction and kept them alive simply by letting them be down in the land of Babylon. And he knows that it's fixing to expire, and hopefully they're going to get to go back and that to Jerusalem. And so he realized that there needed to be a time of repentance. Can I say tonight that what our nation needs to do, and I think you know, is repent. But he ain't talking about the people right here. I want you to look at something, and I'm getting way ahead of myself. But if you look at this over and over and over again, you'll find out that Daniel says, we have sinned. Verse 6, he said, neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets. He comes on down and says, O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of faces. We have sinned against thee. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God in verse 10. And this is the very man that I preached on this morning that did not want to defile himself with the king's meat. This is the very man that interpreted the king's dreams that God blessed. And this is the man that was thrown in the den of lions and God delivered. And here he is interceding, and that for the nation of Israel. And so this is a prayer of repentance after judgment is poured out. Daniel is a righteous man and loves God, but yet he's praying for his nation. Peter put it like this in 1 Peter chapter 4. He said, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. You want me to tell you what's wrong? You just want me to cut to the chase tonight and tell you what the problem is with our nation? The shape of the church is the problem with the nation tonight. The nation would never be in the shape that it's in had the church never got in the shape that it's in tonight. We have no power with God. Sin runs rampant inside church, but yet nobody wants to deal with it and try to get rid of it nor repent of it. This was a prayer of forgiveness, or to ask for forgiveness, and yet the blessing of the Lord, but the trouble they got in was because they didn't listen. We'll look at a few things tonight about this prayer that I think that will fit in to our times today. As I looked at this and as I finished this message and I folded this outline up and put it in my Bible and I pulled it back out and I wrote over here in the margin of this piece of paper, Lord, help me to see the seriousness of this. If there's anything that I want you to see tonight is the seriousness of what I'm about to preach, because I'm going to tell you, I really believe tonight that our nation stands in the balance and we're just barely hanging on. I believe tonight that we're under judgment of God. I believe tonight that because of the sins of our nation, that friend, people has got the leaders that they wanted, and yet they did not know what they were going to get when they got them. And it's just not this leader, it's not the last leader nor the leader before him, but this has been rocking on for years. I look across, listen, I am 46 years old, and I love my nation tonight. I love the country that I'm in. But I do remember when our country was a better place. I do remember when our nation was better. Some of y'all don't remember that or know that. Hey, this, I want you to understand something. It was a better place 20 years ago when I come down here to pastor. I've watched it go downhill in the past 20 years and it's just turned into a mess. And so tonight, if you could just for a minute just say, Lord, help me see the seriousness and get the seriousness of this prayer that Daniel prayed. I want you to look, number one, at Daniel's position in his prayer. Not necessarily physically. The Bible don't tell us how he physically prayed. But notice that he, first of all, he set his face unto the Lord to seek Him. Boy, he wanted to get in touch with God. Would to God that we'd want to get in touch with God tonight. Would to God that we would want to just see what He would want for us and just do what He would want us to do. Bible said he made his prayer and his supplication, but he made his prayer and his supplication and that with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. He come to the Lord and that not only in prayer. You know, a lot of times when we come with the idea of what Hebrews chapter 4 talks about. Let us come boldly under the throne of grace that we may find grace or find mercy and grace to help in a time of need. Hey, listen, and when it's like that, that's how you need to come. You need to come over. But notice how he came right here. He come how? He come in fasting and sackcloth and ashes. He come sorrowful and repentant. I thought about this as I read this. I thought about here's a man who is righteous. Here's a man that loved God and God loved him. But yet he's coming sorrowful. And that for the sins of his people. No doubt he probably got alone in that with God. When's the last time that we got alone and was sorrowful for the sins of our nation? We talk about the sins of our nation. We talk about our leaders. We talk about the situation that we've got in. But when is the last time that we just went and prayed for the situation of our nation? Maybe you do. I'll just be honest with you. I find myself failing at that a lot of times. As we'll see here in a minute, it was an intercessory prayer. Daniel was praying and that on behalf of his people. He was probably still with it now. He was praying and that for his nation. I believe that Daniel loved his people. I believe that Daniel loved his nation. But he loved God more and he seen the situation that they were in. We can blame everything and everybody, but it really just boils down to sin has been the problem. Sin that's been in homes, sin that's crept into churches, sin that's been in believers' lives over and over and over again, that's what's caused where we're at today. As a matter of fact, in this intercessory prayer, you know what he said right here? He begins to get personal with God, as I said a few minutes ago, and he said, we've sinned, we've not hearkened, unto us belong confusion of faces. A man who really didn't have to say that. A man who was righteous and loved God, but yet he realized and seen the situation that everybody was in. Again, he admitted sin. I'm going to be honest with you tonight. If we think that we don't have sin, we've got a problem. 1 John 1 and 8 said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Proverbs chapter 30 put it a different way. When he's talking about the adulterous woman, he said, such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and said, I have done no wickedness. He said, I ain't done nothing wrong. You know the problem with a lot of church people, and I hope it ain't you tonight, they sit on church pew and think they ain't done no wrong.
They're eat up with the world. They're eat up with the ways of the world, and everything else rules them and rules their home. But yet they say, I've done nothing wrong. Our nation is in the shape it's in tonight because of the judgment of God, because we've not repented of sin. It got personal with Daniel. He put himself in there. He was praying for his nation. He was part of them. I wouldn't want to be a part of another nation, would you tonight? God, let me park right here. And do you understand how Israel started? Do you understand how that nation started? God called Abraham. If you could ever talk about being a Calvinist, it was where God called Abraham. I mean, God chose Abraham to make a nation out of him. But I believe that God chose Abraham because, you know, the Bible said that Abraham believed God and it's counted unto him for righteousness. I just believe he believed God. Amen. Do you realize that down through time through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then Jacob's 12 sons, and they end up getting carried off down in the land of Egypt down there because of the famine that took place, and Joseph was in charge of all that, you know, and the Bible said in Exodus that there arose up another king that knew not Joseph. And so 430 years they were down in the land of Egypt, 400 of it, and that was in bondage. And in 400 years, God took some 72 souls and turned them into 1.5 to 3 million Jews down there in the land of Goshen, in the land of Egypt. And they come out with a high and mighty hand, and God made Israel to be His people. I do not believe that we took Israel's place as the church. But you know, at one point He told Israel, He said, I have called thee by thy name and I have redeemed thee. What has He done for the church tonight? He has called us by His name and has redeemed us. The Bible said that those things that were written aforetime were written for our learning and our admonition. Tonight, I believe that as God dealt with the nation of Israel for their sin, I believe He's dealing with our nation tonight because, listen, I believe that He started our nation as a Christian nation to shine the light and that of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that sinners could get saved, and we've turned our back on Him. We print in God we trust on our money and on some license plates it says that, but yet I don't believe that no more than I could do it myself as to print it. I don't believe that we trust in God. It was an intercessory prayer that He went on behalf of His nation. You better be glad somebody interceded for you. Remember the night that I got saved, Mama said that she was over there praying for her children. I'm glad Mama's intercede for children. I'm glad Daddy's intercede, Mamas and Papas and preachers and Sunday school teachers and church members. They intercede. You know, it was the Lord Jesus Christ that interceded between us and God, so that we could get to Him tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 2 said, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. We see the position of His prayer, that He has come repentative and sorrowful for the sins of His people. But I want you to see the confession of His prayer. Look at what He says tonight. He said, we've committed sin, we've committed iniquity, and we've done wickedly. He just cuts to the chase, don't he? He said, we've sinned. You know, if we're going to get anywhere with God, we're just going to have to admit we've sinned. We're going to have to admit our nation is full of sinners. We're going to have to admit that we're sinners. I listen tonight, we're going to have to repent and that of our sin. You realize for sinners to get saved, they must first come and act to the place where they realize that they were lost and are lost, and they got to come and repent and ask Him to save them. It's no different to get right with God tonight. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." You know what Daniel was doing right here? He was trying to do what the book of Proverbs said. He was trying to confess and forsake those sins so that God might have mercy upon them. He said, "We've sinned." How did they sin? They had rebelled against God's Word. Look down here with me if I can find it again and see what he says. Notice what he said. We have sinned and have committed iniquity, verse 5, and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. He said, we've not kept your word. We have departed. We have left what the word of God says. You know what's happened today? Believers, church has left what God's word says. Not every church you go into is church anymore. Like some churches, there are some churches they're not going to let me come and preach in, and some of them I'd be obliged not to go. Except if they would let me up there, I sure enough would tell them the truth. Amen. I know a lot of folks just need to get saved. That would fix a lot of problems for a lot of people. But what's happened is we've become so lax in the way that we do things and so rebellious. Whether you say I'm going to rebel against God's Word, it's when we fail in that to do what His Word says. And so Daniel says the problem that we have is even by departing from thy precepts and thy judgments. Well, maybe we just need to be a little easier, preacher. You know what the Bible said in the book of Isaiah? He said, "Cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins." He said, "Cry aloud and spare not." Now, we don't need to get easier. We need to get to preaching. I mean, we need to get to repenting. We need preaching. We need to repent, get right with God, and go on and serve Him. He said, "Preacher, you're preaching to us like we're all sinners." We are all sinners. Daniel was, I mean, he was in a group of free men. Noah, Job, and Daniel. You think me and you fit into the classification of Noah, Job, and Daniel? Now, I'll be honest with you. Brother Randy, I sure hope the Lord don't ask me to build an ark because I don't know how. And I hope that I don't have to suffer through what Job went through. And I sure don't want to be in the den of lions. I live with a little bitty one right now. I ain't talking about my wife either. So that's what some of y'all thought. I know. We got a big old gray cat, and boy, she's just mean as a devil sometimes. I'm going to tell you, if you're saved tonight, then you're righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we need to live like we're righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to live as though that we're saved tonight. We need to, how do you do that? Well, you line up with the Word of God. The problem they had was that they had left the Word of God. Notice what he said right here. He said, "We've departed from thy precepts and from thy judgments." When it said to be separate, we didn't do it. When it said to serve God, we didn't do it. Thank you, Bible. I want to show you something. Go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I want you to look right here. Most of y'all think you know how to live for God? I think you should. I think you should know how to. I'm looking across through here, and most of y'all have been here for long enough that I know that we have preached long enough and taught long enough. You've been in Sunday school long enough here at this church. You will know how to live for God. Now, you go to Deuteronomy 28. I want to show you. I'm going to go back to the text verse and read something right here. You know what Daniel said in verse 11? He said, "Yea, all Israel transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him, and he hath confirmed his words which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven had not been done, as have been done upon Jerusalem, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us." All right, let's look in the law of Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Look at verse 1. I ain't going to read it all, but I'm going to have to read in a hurry, okay? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. "It shall come to pass that thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all the commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." Let me park right here and say, man, how blessed has our nation been? Man, we've been a blessed nation, haven't we? I mean, in a 245 year period, God has blessed us beyond amazement. But it seems like those blessings are waning off, don't it? Verse 3, "Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of the body, of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest." Boy, that'd be good, wouldn't it? You come in, you're blessed, and you go out, you're blessed. Man, I like that. "The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways." Sure won't be making deals with them, will you? "The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee in holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways." He said, if you'll just do what I tell you to do. Look at verse 13. He goes on and talks more about the blessings and the good treasures of God. Going to open up the rain, verse 13, "And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left to go after other gods to serve them." Uh-oh. What was the one thing? Well, not the one thing, but what was one of the things they done? They went after other gods. Look at verse 15. "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all the commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shalt thou be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, rebuke, and all that thou settest thine hand unfor to do, until thou be destroyed and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me." God told them what was going to happen, didn't he? Look in verse 43. Stay in Deuteronomy chapter 28, look in verse 43. "The stranger that is," he's still talking about being cursed and everything's going to take place. "The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and thou shalt and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee." So, you know what Daniel said? Daniel said, God told us what was going to happen in the law of Moses if we'd done this. Let me go on and read verse 13 in the text passage. "As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us." And then he said this, "Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth." He said, what's happened is we forsook God, we saw judgment coming, we saw God moving, but yet we've done nothing about it. I'm afraid there ain't nobody doing nothing about what's going on in our nation. Church ain't got enough power to get souls won. You can't expect sinners to make right decisions. You can't expect those politicians, or most of them, up there in Washington, D.C., they don't know nothing about Jesus Christ. I'm sure there's some of them up there saved. I hope so. What bothers me is I'm sitting here and I have a lot of feelings about our nation. One is I'm dumbfounded at the shape that we're in. That me as a 46-year-old man in Southeast Tennessee that barely has above a 12th grade education can see what's going on. You ain't got to be too smart to figure out what's going on. But I do have the Holy Spirit residing inside of me. So Daniel said, well, what happened was is we seen it all coming, but yet we didn't do nothing about it. You got to realize when Daniel makes this prayer, he's probably somewhere around 90 years old. This is about the same time that Daniel was cast into the den of lions. Somewhere in that time frame. So Daniel admits that they knew what God was going to do, but yet God warned them and God showed him what was happening, and he showed his people what was happening. And brought. If you remember studying the book of Jeremiah, the Lord let Israel get carried off a little at a time, a little at a time, and he begged and pleaded and begged with them to get right. And you know what the book of 2 Chronicles talks about over there at one point? He said, but they mocked the messengers of God and despised His words and misused His prophets until the wrath of the Lord rose against His people till there was no remedy. It didn't matter how much they repented at that point. Nothing was going to change. At what point is God going to say enough is enough? Now, I'm glad when God says enough is enough, the church is gone. Now see, that's the one thing. I'm not Brother Fred Wilson. I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the uptaker. Amen. You say, then what do you have to worry about tonight, preacher? If you're expecting the Lord, hey, I don't know how bad it's going to get. I don't know how much judgment is going to be poured out on this place because of the sins of the church tonight. God don't forget that stuff. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whether it is the sin of commission or the sin of omission, it's going to come back and get us tonight. Can I put it that way? I don't fault these young people running around here today for the shape that we're in. I fault my generation and generations before me and men that refuse to stand where I'm at and to preach what thus saith the Word of God. I do believe in separation. I believe one of the biggest problems we have in Baptist churches today is folk don't know how to be separated. Got too much world in their life and in their home and in their children's life. It's got too much world. But I love it, preacher. Yeah, but it's going to destroy you. So you look in Deuteronomy chapter 28. That whole chapter tells you what God's going to do. They knew what God was going to do. They had the opportunity to get right, but they did not get right. We'll look in Jeremiah chapter 18. I'll go over here. In Jeremiah chapter 18. Am I doing okay tonight? All right. Are you mad, preacher? I ain't happy. I sure ain't happy at the situation that our nation's in tonight. And I don't watch the news near as much as some of you all do. And I know what's going on. You know that I have to quit after a little while watching the news because I'll go stark raving mad. It drives me insane to watch some of this stuff.
I've been in homes where the news stays on 24 hours a day, whether it's on CNN or Fox. It don't matter. It just stays on. And if you listen to that stuff all the time, you're going to drive yourself crazy. Jeremiah 18, verse 7. Here's what the Lord told them. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and destroy it. He said, okay, if I'm talking about a nation and I'm going to destroy it, bring it down. As a matter of fact, if you go back, he talks about just prior to this in this same chapter, he talks about the potter and the clay. He's the potter, talking about the vessel. We are the clay. And so he begins to talk and he says, at one instant concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and destroy it, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. Let me park right here and say this. Did he not do that in Jonah's day with the city of Nineveh? God determined, remember what he told Jonah to go do? Go down there and preach them, tell them 40 days, God's just going to destroy Nineveh. So he goes a day's journey after he finally gets out of the belly of the whale. He goes a day's journey into the city and he preaches one short message and he says, yet in 40 days, God shall destroy Nineveh. And turns around, walks up, sits on top of the hill and watches the city. And you know what they do? They repent. And so you know what God done? He repented of the evil that he thought he would do unto them. Verse 9. And at what instant I shall speak concerning the nation and concerning the kingdom to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, and I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now every one from his evil way and make your ways and your doings good. And then I want you to look what they said. And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices and we will every one do the imagination of his evil heart. They said, we'll do what we want to do. They said, there's no hope for us to be right with God. There's no hope that God can do anything. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you tonight that if men, women, boys, and girls would repent of their sin, I believe God would repent of the evil that He sees in doing to our nation tonight. So I'm going to be honest with you tonight, we're not any more special than any other nation. And I'm going to tell you something tonight that I've watched for a long time in the independent fundamental Baptist movement. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't even know there was an IFB long after I became independent Baptist. But a lot of people think that God's sovereignty is wrapped up in that flag back there. I love that flag. I'll honor that flag. Men and women have died under that banner and under that flag. But God's sovereignty is not in that flag tonight. God's sovereignty is in that book. A lot of people don't think God will destroy our nation. You better just get in line. You say, how would that happen? I ain't got a clue. But I can tell you tonight that I'm just a dumb hillbilly from southeast Tennessee and I can see it coming. Daniel, after he's seen everything that happened after those 70 years was coming to an end. And remember what we preached on this morning? Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, they were all raised in all that mess. They were raised in that mess. But the great thing about this prayer right here was it was a prayer. We see his position. You know, we see how he prayed and how he sought the Lord. And we've seen his confession. But then it is a prayer of restoration. Because if you look right here, you come on down through here. What is he doing? He's repenting. Great thing about repentance is it brings restoration. Notice what he says in verse 17. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear, and open thine eyes, and behold our desolations in the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken, and do defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. He said, Lord, we're over here repenting not because of our righteousness, but because of your mercy. Because we know that if we'll come and repent, you'll forgive. Not anything good that we've done that's inside of us. Daniel was saying, and listen, when somebody comes to repent, truly repents, they have to come in that sorrowful heart and realize that there's nothing good about them. You remember when you come and got saved, there wasn't nothing good about you. Still ain't nothing good about you. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. Not for righteousness in them, but for His own mercy and for His own sake. I'm just so afraid. As I think back about the book of Jeremiah, as we studied it on Wednesday nights, and I studied it at the house before I would teach it, you remember what Jeremiah told him? He said, go down, and the Lord said, and so I'm telling you, He said, go down there to Babylon, and He says, marry your sons and your daughters off, and He says, go down there and build your house and plant you a garden, because you're going to be down there for 70 years. Now, do you remember what some of them wrote back to Jeremiah? He said, we're going to be back up in Jerusalem within 2 years, and we're going to bring everything that they took out of the house of God. We're going to bring it with us when we come. Guess which one was right? They were down there for 70 years. I'm afraid a lot of people are deceived as to what's going on and what's going to take place. You know, the Lord did not get the children of Israel out of Egypt until they began to cry out. Go over and look in Exodus chapter 1, 2, and 3. Till they began to cry out and want out. And I know some of them were rooted in Egypt because, boy, that's all they talked about. When they come up out of Egypt, got on the other side of the Red Sea over there, God had delivered with a great and a mighty hand, and all they talked about was Egypt. That's all they wanted. They just wanted to go back, so God let them die over in the wilderness. Tonight, I'm going to be honest with you, church. Somebody's going to have to start interceding for our nation. You may already be there. You may already be interceding for our nation tonight. And I hope you are. And I find myself at times interceding for our nation. You remember what I told you at the very beginning of this thing? Lord, help me see the seriousness of this thing. I think sometimes, and I'll just say me, I'll talk about me tonight, that if I'm not careful, I live in a world to where it just, as long as I serve God, everything is going to be all right and be taken care of. Now, in the long part of that is true. I'll be took care of no matter what. Okay? But I'm talking about our nation tonight. Our nation. I mean, God took care of Daniel. God sent him through everything. I mean, he had to go into the den of lions. But God sent him through it. What I'm saying tonight, church, is if we don't intercede, if we don't look at ourselves, if judgment don't begin with us first, then what hope do these people outside these walls got tonight? I mean, if you go read the book of 1 Peter where that verse comes from, that's actually what he's talking about. If it don't begin with us,